All right. Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch, a Tuesday edition, and Wall Street is smiling after having the holiday off. The traders were back in New York today, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ all set intraday highs. They're all still higher for the day. We hope to talk to John Najarian from CNBC coming up in just a minute or two. Steve Alexander, I know you are watching in the newsroom as well,
yeah.
In the business office, I should say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess February, was it you just said it, that February typically is a down month,
yeah,
or often is a down month?
Yeah, historically February is a down month, but not this year, so far anyway. Still a few days left in the month, right?
Yeah, and it's a funny thing because people are calling it a Trump bump, and things are looking up because of the sorts of things he's talking about implementing. He hasn't done them yet.
Right.
But you know, in another way, there's no way he could have done them. They're all big projects, I guess.
Right. No, big projects, but the themes of lower taxation, less regulation, infrastructure increases, in the building of infrastructure, that's all great news to the traders who are, at this point anyway, running with that.
I guess he has made some moves on regulation, at least to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
That's something he can do. Okay, so... You know, I think we've learned in the past couple of years that Donald Trump says a lot of things and they don't always turn out to be the policy that is implemented. I'm just wondering what happens, you know, if we keep building up Wall Street and the stock market and then some of the things that they're counting on end up not having to coming to pass.
Well, keep in mind that there are other things factored in here, including earnings. Macy's and Home Depot had really good earnings reports today, and Home Depot hit a record high for its shares, up I think right about 1% right now. Macy's is up about 3% at last check. All 11 of the S&P sectors are trading higher today. Energy shares way up, thanks to crude oil right now being up right around 1.9%. So a lot of other factors entering into the overall picture.
Have you ever been to a Tim Hortons?
I have.
Have you?
I have.
I don't know that I ever have. I think I've seen them in, I know they're in Dayton, Ohio. I don't know how far south they go.
It's Denny-ish.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it that that complete of a menu? I thought it was more limited.
It's more donuts and stuff, but it's not a, trying to think of a great comparison here.
It's no Olive Garden.
It's no, yeah, you're right. It's not quite as complete of a menu as Denny's.
But maybe soon they'll be offering rice and beans or some chicken as well, as they're taking over Popeyes, right? That's the company that owns Burger King.
What is it now? Burger King, Tim Horton, and Popeyes?
That could be that. Well, you'd never have to leave. That's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. All right, so we're watching that. I know that people were concerned about Dick's Sporting Goods stock today because their earnings weren't quite as good as people had expected. But if you look at Walmart and you look at Macy's, you know, everyone was so worried about retail just a few weeks ago. They're looking pretty good so far today.
Walmart's up over 3% today in trading. It's hard to find any, actually 2.9% right now, but it's hard to find any stocks trading lower. But a couple of local ones are among those trading down today. Caterpillar's off about 0.8%. McDonald's is down about 0.1%. Potbelly's down about 0.75% right now.
Okay, so tell me about Caterpillar. Do you know what's involved there? Because they were the ones that are going to benefit from the infrastructure.
I don't know why Caterpillar is off today. Caterpillar was, you know, it's kind of one of those up and down stocks, where yo-yo stocks, where sometimes it's leading the 30 industrials higher, and sometimes it's dragging the 30 industrials lower. But today it's down for some reason that I'm not aware of.
All right, Steve Alexander, following all of that in the business office. Thanks very much for that today. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Are you listening to the Business Lunch on 720 WGN? A little bit later, DNA Info's Andrew Herman will be in the studio. We talk about openings and closings. And one of the things, there's this new great trend toward boxing when it comes to fitness. And there's a chain that is moving in big time here in the Chicago area. So we'll talk to him about that. Also, I mentioned with Bill and Wendy, a private hot tub bar that you could rent. I think it's in the Loop. So we'll talk to Andrew Herman about that a little bit later as well. Victor Spascucci is the new managing partner of LightBank, the venture capital firm. That's the one that was run by Eric Lefkowski and others who have moved on a little bit. They're still involved, but not having quite as big of a role. And we'll talk to Victor about what it means to take over something that's been built up by others and try to maintain it. All of that and running a business and becoming an entrepreneur as a millennial, all ahead today on the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. It's 12:18. This is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. John Najarian is on a phone line. John, we were talking just a couple of minutes ago about what's going on in Wall Street, and the I don't know, when does the Trump bump become more than a bump?
It would become a very significantly bigger bump if after that February 28th, I think he has a big press conference. He's going to talk about his plan that he's laying out, which hopefully does include the tax plan and how long he thinks it'll take to get that through Congress.
You know, I'm a little worried about all of this because I just feel like we're, you know, people have great expectations for this infrastructure and regulation, the tax plan and all of that. And if it doesn't come to fruition, that there might be quite a big drop around the corner. Is that a reasonable or unreasonable concern?
Well, I guess if I wanted to take not the glass half empty, but the glass all the way empty, I would say that you're absolutely right. If indeed, for instance, the Congress rebelled, a Republican Congress, you know, House and Senate, decided that they're going to go against the president, not push through any tax reform and or, you know, that repatriation you and I have talked about, as well as no infrastructure spending and a host of other things that the market is, if not counting on, at least discounting in a forward way the impact that they'd have. Yeah, I agree with you, Stephen, but I don't see that in the cards right now.
Well, that's okay then. I'm a glass half empty guy. I'm certainly not a glass completely empty, so I'll take your word for it, and I'll sleep a little better tonight. Hey, we're a little short of time today, but do you have a stock tip for us? What are you looking at?
Well, Pitney Bowes, PBI, it's a stock that's only a dollar off the 52-week low. They don't just make machines to weigh mail anymore. They do a whole host of software applications for businesses. We bought that today at $13 or thereabouts, and it's down from 22 on the 52-week high. We think it goes back towards that level, and big institutions were buying out in October, meaning that they think it rises as well over the next 6 to 8 months.
Excellent. We'll look for that. John Najarian, great to talk to you again. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
You bet. It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. How about weather in the first 5 minutes? Watch Chicago's first weather reports at 10 p.m. with Tom Skilling. Weeknights on WGN TV News at 10. If you're like a lot of people, you might be a little unsure about what your retirement's going to look like. Are you on track? Well, here's a solution. Ask a pro like Financial Engines. They've got the expertise to help you build a personalized plan that gets you to and then through retirement. Financial Engines starts with your goals and then tells you your chances of achieving those goals in concise, easy-to-understand language. You'll work with a dedicated advisor to personalize your comprehensive plan and then stay connected. You may have heard the term fiduciary. Well, that means Financial Engines follows high ethical standards and puts clients' interests first with objective advice. They'll address the full picture of your financial future, including budget planning, social security optimization, and retirement distribution. And then they monitor, adjust, and communicate to help you stay on track. Financial Engines will help manage fears and calm concerns. For a free portfolio review and to find a local advisor, check out Financial Engines at financialengines.com, financialengines.com. Their goals are aligned with yours. All right, we're going to check in with Andrew Herman coming up in just a minute or so. Andrew is an editor at DNA Info, talks about openings and closings in the city. A little bit later on the program, well, I want to introduce you to Vlad Moldovsky. Now, I probably butchered that name. He's the chief growth officer at Mably and has been writing in Inc. and elsewhere about advice for millennials when it comes to entrepreneurship. So this old guy will sit down and talk with that young guy, and we'll see where that goes. But right now, here's another young guy, Andrew Herman from DNA Info. Andrew, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Hi, Steve.
All right, so I'm kind of excited about this whole boxing thing. No, yeah. That's not it. The private hot tub bar down. It's what is it? So Andrew comes by from DNA. You can read all about this, about openings and closings in the city. And one of the things that's coming in now is a private hot tub bar.
Yeah.
And it's under a hotel in the Loop, is that right?
Near
Northside?
Right. So it's at 15 East Ohio. It's at the Acme Hotel. It's called the Bunny Slope. As you say, it's a basement bar, and it's decorated like a ski lodge.
It's called the Bunny Slope. Okay.
So it looks like a ski lodge. It has, you know, dark paneling and a fireplace, and it has
a cocktail lounge. Does it have a slide?
And it has a hot tub.
Yeah.
And basically, it's a private party area, so it's not a regular bar in which you just decide to show up one day in your swim trunks.
So you rent it out with a group.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that expensive, really, is it?
Well, I mean, for 18 people can fit in the club. It rents for $150 for 2 hours, but you have to drink at least $75 an hour in drinks.
Oh, per hour,
yeah.
That is. Okay.
That's Sunday through Wednesday, and $125 Thursday through Saturday, and they have a bunch of special drinks there, something called the Friesling, which is frozen Riesling wine, Après Ski, which is a rum drink, and Snowvine, which is a German red spiced wine.
It's just kind of funny to me that it's a faux ski lodge in the middle of the Loop, or just north of the river anyway.
I don't think I know 18 people I want to see me in my swim trunks, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. I wonder what the average age at this bar will be. It's a good question, really. What will the average age be? Because it's not cheap.
No.
Right? So it's not going to be the college students,
no,
by and large.
No, but I mean, it'll be like a special event, I think, for people who want to do something different.
I can see some business trips way out of hand.
Maybe. You know, in the wintertime, if we had a typical winter, I could see it being very attractive. Maybe in the summertime, if you feel like having a little taste of winter, you might
right.
go there. But it's a new idea, and, you know, all they had to do is really put a hot tub in. If it doesn't work, just take the hot tub out.
And then you got a bar.
Right, and then you have a bar there.
Maybe we could work one up in the backyard. Just put a hot tub in your backyard, open up a – charge $500. I don't know if that would work.
Just tell me what time, I'll be over there.
Okay, so this boxing thing when it comes to fitness is – it's growing mm-hmm. and growing, right? I mean, it's been growing for a few years.
Right.
And there's yet another club, and they're one of four franchises in Chicago. Tell me about this boxing club.
Yeah, so this is the Title Boxing Club. They're opening one this summer at 1355 North Milwaukee. That's in Wicker Park. And as you say, it will be the fourth one in the city. No actual bouts, though. You don't actually pound on somebody else.
Well, no planned ones, because I would imagine if you're gloved up and sweaty and angry, you might punch someone.
Right. So 4,200 square feet, there's 54 punching bags and a boxing ring and free weights and elliptical machines. But the way it works is you do 8 3-minute rounds against a bag, and then you take a minute break. But the minute
they call it active break?
Active rest.
An active rest.
Which means you do aerobic and calisthenics and squats and whatnot while you're taking a break from punching this bag. And as I say, nobody actually fights each other. And interesting enough, 60 to 70% of the people who use the one in Lincoln Park are women.
Yeah, I read that, and I wanted to ask you about that. Why do you think that is?
I wonder if they might not think that they'll not only get some exercise, but maybe a little self-defense instruction.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe the upper arms or something. I don't know. But it is a good workout. I was looking up some numbers, and boxing is 700 calories an hour. And to compare that to running, which is about 550. So
really?
this is pretty heavy duty. And if you've ever been in a fight with anyone, as maybe a teenager or something, you can't really fight for very long. It's just... it's so exhausting, punching like that.
I don't have much of history there, Andrew. You want to tell me yours, or
maybe another time? But if you've ever tried to hit a boxing, you know, a bag
right.
for any length of time, you can't believe how tired you get, and it really makes you appreciate
people who box. You're
boxers,
right. That's a good
right.
point.
Yeah.
You know what? And maybe it is because these are class businesses, right? You're mostly going there to take classes.
Yeah.
Women are more likely to take classes than men. Right? Is that fair?
I would bet that's true.
Yeah,
right.
So maybe that's why there are more likely to be women there than men.
Maybe. I mean, men, we instinctually know everything, right? So
we don't need any classes on anything.
Right, but women might be more into this, and it looks like a pretty good workout. It's $149 a month. If you sign up for a year, it's $119 a month.
And it's growing and growing, right?
Right. This whole idea of using boxing techniques to stay in shape is growing, as you say, across the country. And if no one's punching you, it's even more healthier.
Well, the drag is I can't find a Pilates studio now because all the boxing's, everyone's boxing. Andrew Herman, where do people read more about this?
DNAinfo.com/Chicago.
All right, good to see you.
All right.
All right. Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. LightBank is a venture capital firm. It was created and run by Eric Laskowski and Brad Kuehl, a couple of the guys behind Groupon. And they've always been very busy moving on to many other things, but each has a pretty major project underway, which makes room for Vic Piscucci, who was just brought in now to run LightBank. And he joins us on a phone line now. Vic, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
And I was going to welcome you to Chicago, but I think maybe it's more welcome you back to Chicago, right? You did some time here.
That's right. It's definitely a welcome back, and it's good to be back here.
You came from, most recently, you were in the San Francisco area?
Correct.
All right. So, the guys who started LightBank, I'm always interested in the next sort of generation or the next phase of leadership, because you've got, and I'm sure you see this in entrepreneurs as well, you've got the founder or the creator, and then it comes to a point to where they hand it on. You're running it now. I know they're still going to be involved, but how do you approach this? I mean, do you bring your own view? Do you continue their view? Do you feel responsible to them when you start things up, or how does all of that work?
So it's just a great story about a firm with an amazing platform that Brad and Eric created and just taking it to the next level. This is all about growth and building out the team, building out the portfolio, and building out the platform.
What is the next level? How are you going to get there?
So what LightBank is just going to keep doubling down on what it's been extraordinarily successful with. It's writing bigger checks, working hand-in-hand with our entrepreneurs, with our portfolio, and helping these companies grow.
And tell me about the idea of the importance of being with the company. I mean, I know there have been quotes from you and others at LightBank about the fact that it's about the idea, about the structure of a business, certainly, but it's also a lot about the team, that it all goes to the team bringing the idea to you. Tell me about the significance of that.
You know, nothing's probably more important to LightBank than the team and the portfolio and the entrepreneurs we work with. You know, these are the teams that are going to overcome overwhelming odds, build multi-billion-dollar businesses, and really create those next-generation brands and companies that are going to make a difference. And so you've got to have confidence in that team. And it's going to be a team that we believe we can help out and bring our own experiences, successes, and bring our own time and attention to help them grow and help them achieve their goals.
That's one of the things that's pointed to success, right, is when you can almost develop a symbiotic relationship with the companies you're investing in. You don't just give the money and go, you stay with them. Those are the companies that have been most successful for LightBank.
So, and you could see that in a case example here in Chicago with the investment where Brad and Eric and I originally met, which is Snapsheet. So my background with insurance and financial services, Brad and Eric's experience knowing how to grow and scale businesses, we came together. I provided the attention, the insight, of what I had to offer from where I was coming from, Brad and Eric from where they were coming from, and created another great success story.
And so when you're looking at a team, people bringing you the idea, it's great to say that they have to be a good team, a great team, smart and all that. But what is it specifically you're looking for? I mean, is it an intuition? Yeah. Is it a piece of paper? Or what is it that makes it a good team in your mind?
You know, for me, it comes down, I want to see a team that has the same level of passion that I do about their business and the same level of passion that Brad and Eric bring to the table as well. So it's about spirit. It's about passion and just that unsatiable desire to succeed.
I would imagine there are, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Vic, I'm not sure, but there are maybe a couple of different approaches to this. There's someone who comes to you with a great idea, one that they've been nurturing forever, and it's kind of their baby. You know, they've got their heart in it. Mm-hmm. And then there are others who are sort of serial entrepreneurs, and they've got their heart in it at this moment. But after that, they're going to go on to the next one. Am I right in that characterization, and does one work better than the other?
You know, I think that's a pretty broad characterization. You know, the entrepreneurs that we like to work with are the ones that are 100% committed to their business, committed to their idea. Sometimes it may not be their idea, but they understand the opportunity, they understand the market, and they're going to put their heart and soul into it. So, you know, we like the entrepreneurs that are in it for the long term and want to build something meaningful and sustainable.
So they're not just riding this surfboard. This is an idea that they're going to be with and stay with for a while.
Right, absolutely. And Light Banking, you've seen historically, is not scared to go against investment trends. When they see an opportunity in the market, even if other people don't appreciate it, don't see it, Light Bank's not scared to step out in front and lead the charge.
You said a couple times that you look to be writing bigger checks. Why? What's the significance of that change? And I mean, did writing the smaller checks not work as well as you'd like to have seen?
You know, it's not that it hasn't worked out. Light Bank's had some great success at the seed state investing and will continue to do seed state investing. It's just the time when you've got between the time and the resources and the team that's coming to the table, it makes sense instead of, you know, writing smaller checks, $500,000, $2 million, to write bigger checks, have a more meaningful ownership stake in these companies and really commit the resources to it.
All right. Do you set things up now? Because I read, you know, well, they invested in 16 deals last year, 5 in Chicago. They break it down by year. Is that how you do it when you're looking at the business? You say we need so many sort of investments this year or so many this quarter or next quarter. How does it work inside Light Bank?
You know, it's a delicate balance between the cadence of, you know, how many deals can you really put your time into versus the opportunities that are there. You know, Light Bank will never walk away from an opportunity because we're full or we can't get to it. If it's the right team, if it's the right entrepreneurs, we will support them.
I would imagine that people are seeking you out. You're not seeking them out so much. Am I correct or incorrect in that?
You know, I think you get to a point where you've been doing venture and building companies like my partners and I have for decades and decades and decades, and your contacts get to be so broad, your network gets to be so diverse that things just continually come to you because of the experiences, the reputation, and the network you have. But, you know, there's no individual recipe that says, oh, it has to come to us from our network. If we see great folks that are out there in a great space, we will reach out to them.
What are the chances if someone just walks up to your office, knocks on your door, that they could get a deal with you?
You know, it's going to come down to that entrepreneur, and it's going to come down to what they're doing. There's a good chance that we'll all be heads down into something when they come to that door.
Right.
You know, for the right team, the right opportunity, we'll make way.
Well, I'll tell you what, I will give your address as soon as you're off the air, and I'll see if I can get a line up there for you.
All right. Sounds great.
Yeah, I'm not sure you want that. Vic Mascucci is the new guy behind Light Bank. Look, I appreciate you taking time. I know you're very busy, and it's nice to talk to you. I hope we can talk again.
Great. I look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks very much, Steve Alexander. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Vlad Moldavsky is in the studio. He's a partner and chief growth officer at Mably. Vlad, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Steve, thanks for having me.
All right. So we just were talking to Vince Biscucci of the guy who's running Light Bank now. And I know that I read an article you wrote in Inc. not too long ago about advice for millennials when it comes to being an entrepreneur. And all. You talked about the fact that you went 3 times to these VC guys to raise money, right?
Yep.
So tell me from that side, what's it like to go? I asked Vic, I said, if someone knocks on your door, what are your chances?
Well, actually, you know, from my perspective, I'm actually working on the investment side. So we're not really raising capital, we're actually investing into some projects, whether it's through Sweat or Angel VC or actual VC funds. But working in the industry and kind of working with young entrepreneurs, seeing the challenges they have to go through, it's really how do you communicate the value while being resilient,
right?
And really pushing and pushing and pushing and really getting used to people saying no to you. And I think anytime you're going and you're raising funds or you're trying to even get a new business or a prospect or a client, have someone there that's ready to mentor you, have someone there that's going to champion you and really put their credibility on the line because they believe in you so much.
One of the things, and I was talking to Vic about this, and I might not have articulated it so well, but I, through my career, have talked to a lot of novelists, right? Okay, and so if you're a first-time novelist, you've been carrying that book in your head for most of your life. You know, you've been thinking of it, and so it's something that is dear to you. You treasure it. And then you produce it. And I just wonder if there's a parallel with that when it comes to entrepreneurs and businesses and Because it seems to me there would be someone who's got this great idea, but then it seems to me there's a different animal that says, well, I've got this idea now, but this idea next, or this idea next, right? I mean, Vic kind of didn't see it my way. You guys are the experts. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you know, it's something that's always, it's funny because I thought my whole life I was told corporate and, you know, finance and accounting, and you got to go
right.
And you got to work for Hyatt or a large organization. But on my shoulders and in my heart, I've always carried, you know, the need or the want to be an entrepreneur. And so growing up, I was always working on, you know, event ventures and selling tickets and baseball cards. And I always had that mentality. And when I graduated, you know, being the first hire at Mably and now being a partner and chief growth officer, you know, you start to see a lot of opportunities. As you're growing, people are coming into your network, coming into your ecosystem, and really giving you more offers to participate in other ventures. And I think what really comes down to is you gotta stay focused, and where your time is allocated is really where the value is being created today, mm-hmm. at least from my perspective. And if you're able to maximize that value today, keep pushing it. And when you've squeezed, when there's no more juice to squeeze, then move
then
on.
Then you move on.
Exactly.
So it's not so your passion is more the entrepreneurship than it is the particular business that you're bringing to market.
You know, I think my passion is entrepreneurship. I think today, you know, in the role that I'm in and the opportunities we're seeing as a digital branding agency, I want to stay focused. It's kind of that safe side of my
mind
telling me and, you know, telling that you got to stay focused, you got to keep moving. But my heart's telling me is, how do I set this organization up where it's essentially a well-oiled machine and it's self-sustaining so that I can move on and I could create other ventures. But until that happens, where my management team, my founder, my CEO, Hank, until we have that structure in play, until we have that framework, I don't want to move on. But as soon as it's there and we have the right people on the bus,
you're driving that bus,
I'm off. And running.
So you came to me because of this Inc.com piece I saw where you were giving advice to millennials about being entrepreneurs. And you mentioned earlier mentorship, the fact that it's important to find one. I want you to put a little more meat on that, but then I want to turn it around and talk about the reverse mentorship idea and what you bring to us older guys.
Yeah, so it's interesting. One of my customers back in the day, he's the president and CEO of Holland America, and we had a conversation about 2 years ago, and he told me, you know, there's mentors and there's champions. Mentors are, you could have a lot of mentors, right? I have mentors for finance. I have mentors for how to sell the services. I have mentors for how to just be a better leader.
Uh-huh.
And in that process, my mentors who have a lot more experience than myself, they're learning from me, how we think, how millennials are adapting to technology, the market, the environment, because it's really moving fast.
Is it a conscious thing? Do you say, okay, now I'm going to teach you something? I mean, because when you just mentioned the difference between mentors and champions, it made me wonder. I mean, a mentor relationship isn't always something that's declared. It's just something that is.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it. So it's kind of something that happens. And we talk a little
bit. You don't set out and say, I want you to be my mentor.
No, it's usually just kind of something that happens. But then like with champions, a champion, basically like a mentor in my mind, is not going to be someone who goes to the CEO of a company and says, hire this guy. If you hire him, he doesn't work out, I'm willing to put my credibility in line. A mentor will never do that.
That's a champion.
A champion is someone who would. So it's in every single environment as a millennial or as a business owner, find someone who's going to champion you. And usually you'll have one or two champions, and find a great group of mentors, whether it's through some of these networking events here in Chicago, whether it's through, I know Hyde Park Angels has a really amazing program with Peter Wilkins in the University of Chicago program that they have going on. So I think find yourself mentors so you could exchange that information, but also find someone who's going to build their credibility and put their foot down for you.
We're talking to Vlad Meldavsky. How'd I do there? Meldavsky. I'm sorry about that.
No problem. Ukrainian.
Well, that's what I want to get to. We just have a minute or so left. You're Ukrainian. You were born in the Ukraine.
Yep.
You came here as a refugee.
Yeah. So, you know, when the Soviet Union collapsed, it was really hard for Russian Jews. Unfortunately, people were, you know, getting killed. And my whole family, you know, moved out to Detroit, and we lived there for about 2 years. My father was driving Domino's Pizza. After that, we realized that Detroit's probably not where we want to be. We moved to West Rogers Park, and father became a cab driver and kind of started to work up the ranks. And I saw him climb that entrepreneurial ladder. And right. today he's a real estate developer. And, you know, I felt like I was meant to be in that. And I always tell my dad, it's if you could create something like this for yourself and for your family, there's no reason why my brother and I should not be able to do the same. So I kind of follow that journey, follow that path.
And so here you are, a great beneficiary of this country bringing you in, and you're listening to the arguments and debates we're having today. And I just wonder what you make of all of that.
You know, I try to ignore it. I always people are asking me that a lot. And, you know, I don't see myself as right or left wing. But I realize is, depending on what's happening in the environment, you should never be stopped from getting to where you want to be. So just because there's a politician or just because, you know, there's someone in government, you know, you should always have the mentality that if you push hard enough, if you set your mind on it, no matter what, you'll find a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. And that's positive thinking.
Vlad, good to talk to you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks a lot,
Steve. Hope we can do it again.
Appreciate your time.